Brother Randy has been a blessing. He's been a blessing. He's a man's man that loves Jesus. He's bold about it. And when we were putting all of this together, if you remember in years past, we would split you up by grade and maybe ninth grade in this building and 10th grade in this building. And I was sitting there looking at it and we thought, no, we thought if Brother Randy's going to be here, give him all the guys and turn him loose. And that's what we're about to do. Brother Randy, come on.
All right. Y'all crazy, man. Y'all are crazy. Amen. Y'all are crazy. Praise the Lord, man. Praise the Lord. I tell you what. Praise the Lord, man. Y'all crazy. I love it. I love being around young men. I really do. I'm blessed and honored to have this session. I was probably more excited about this session than any other session, just because I look at this crowd here and I'm very encouraged at what sits here before me today, amen. And I'm excited about what God's going to do. I read a quote not too long ago that I loved. It said, be the kind of man that when you wake up in the morning, the devil says, oh no, he's awake again. Amen. I like that. And you know, we have a weird definition of men in America nowadays. We really do. There's an idea on what a man should be. And I live that life. I mean, I did all the stuff that defines that macho man, you know, so to speak. You know, I already given you a little bit of a testimony. I'm just going to go into it a little bit before we get in the message. Football was my passion and my God for years. And in some weird way, I'm thankful for that because football kept me out of a lot of trouble. As a teenager, I was offered drugs many times. I went to parties all the time where they drank beer. And I was always able to say no because I wanted to succeed at football. And I was able to play at a high level, state championship level football. I'm talking about public school football. My junior year, we lost our first game in a bowl game against a quarterback who went on to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers, Charlie Batch. He backed up Ben Roethlisberger for years. I sacked him in that game. They beat us 35-29. We won 14 straight, including the state championship that year, and then 15 straight my senior year. So when I finished high school, I had a 29-0 win streak. But that champion stuff's neat, but you back up a little bit and you realize that this time in the summer of 1990 and 91 and 92, while many of my buddies were at pool, you know, at the pool and hanging out with the girls and all that, we were practicing. I mean, I'm talking about in the summer heat. This is back before they worried about strokes and concussions, man. I mean, it was crazy back then, man. I mean, they weren't worried about heat strokes, man. We would practice from 8 o'clock. Listen, I'm not exaggerating. We didn't have 2 days. We had 3 days. We would practice from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Then we have a quick little lunch break. Then 1 to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then we'd have a two-hour break and then 6 to 9 o'clock at night. I'll never forget before my senior year, we were so excited because the state of Kentucky passed a law saying you cannot practice with full gear until August 1st. Well, August 1st fell on a Saturday that year. So we thought our coach, he's going to wait till Monday, August 3rd to start. Nope. We started on Saturday, August 1st, 3 days. And then on Sundays, we would come in the afternoon and watch film. And 6 days a week, I'm talking about 6 days a week, 8 to 11, 1 to 3, 6 to 9. 6 days a week, that was my life. You don't get in trouble when you practice that much. I get home and buddies be like, you want to go hang out? Nope, I'm going in the bed. Somebody say amen right there. I won all the neat awards, all state. I still have, my son's seen it in my office. I got a big, like a judge, you know, they use the, gavel, yeah. I got two of those for being the hardest hitter on my football team. I led my team in sacks both years, my junior and senior year. I mean, all that stuff, you know, played college football, was chosen to play in an all-star game. They picked the 30 best players from my state to play against the 30 best players of another state, played in that all-star game. I went and had lunch with Division I coaches. I had all that stuff. I used to be able to dunk a basketball. Last time I dunked, I was 29 years old. I could dunk, two-hand dunk. You know, I mean, sports was my life. And I thought that's what defined a man, but it doesn't. It's not what defines a man. LeBron James may be an incredible athlete and have an incredible physique. Of course, he spends $1 million on his body every year. I don't know if you heard that. But he's not a man in the biblical sense. He's not. There's very few men in America, and I want to talk about that today. First of all, I want to say this before we get started. I thank God I'm a man. I do. I don't apologize for it. We live in a country now that almost wants you to apologize for being a man. I'm not going to apologize for it. I love my wife. And sometimes people think I'm like a male chauvinist pig and think I'm against women. I'm not. I've got a wife. I've got three beautiful daughters. I've got a mom. I've got a mother-in-law. I've got a grandma. And I even saw a picture of my great-grandma one time, and she was a woman too. I saw it, man. I promise you. I'm not against women, but I thank God I'm a man today. And you know, men just do things differently. And I had another message I plan on preaching on the subject of man up. And when you hear the phrase man up, you think, oh, he's going to tell us to be manly and be tough. But no, man up, what I mean by that phrase really is this. We live in a society today that literally they're trying to tell you not to be a man. And I'm here to tell you, yes, you can be a man again. Yeah. And me, my son, and my wife, and my two daughters, and my two nieces hiked in Pennsylvania back in May. Grant, we did 1,000 steps, man. That was awesome. It's like a straight, steep hike up this mountain. And it was brutal. I mean, I was soaked with sweat. We hiked up to the top. And when we got up to the top, my son walked over and just picked up rocks and started chucking them off a hill. And my wife said, Grant, don't do that. I said, babe, he's a boy. He wants to throw rocks off the hill. He said, what'd you do, Brother Randy? I joined him. I started throwing rocks off the hill. Boys just do weird stuff. I mean, be a man again. I mean, do things that young men are supposed to do. Hey, you hear that stat? We spend 7 minutes a day. When I was growing up, we played games like kill the man and smear the queer. Can I get an amen right there? I know that ain't politically correct, but I'm just telling you what we did. We'd go outside, and if we had a football, that'd be great. You just throw it up, and whoever gets it gets creamed. And if we didn't have a football, I'm serious, we'd take a shoe off and just throw a shoe off. Someone's running around with one shoe on. I mean, that was the old school stuff we used to do. I mean, we just, boys will be boys, right? Nowadays you got airsoft and paintball. Man, we used to shoot each other with BB guns. I'm not exaggerating. I even knew some rednecks in Kentucky that shot each other with .22. I'm telling you, we got some crazy boys I knew. We used to literally, here was a rule, Brother Andy Dahl. We used to say, you can shoot each other with BB guns, but you can't hit them in the head. Oh, okay. All right. If it was an accident, take an eye out, man. I mean, it's just that. But again, all that stuff doesn't define a man. I took MMA classes for 3 years. I studied Krav Maga, which is an Israeli defense. My son, he knows how to tap somebody out. He knows how to choke somebody out. He knows how to get somebody in an armbar. I think boys ought to learn to fight. I think boys ought to know how to defend themselves. I think David, the reason he wasn't afraid to fight Goliath is he already knew how to fight. He'd been trained all his life. He was a balanced young man. He was able to play a harp one day and then go kill a giant the next day, man. I mean, I like that balance. I like young men that can play the piano and then stand up and, you know, take a stand for the Lord. And I think we should be balanced young men again. I've studied those martial arts. I've enjoyed those things. I've taken classes and studied with my brother Nick, who used to, man, the teacher of the class used to let us beat the tar out of each other because we were brothers. And I mean, I've enjoyed all that stuff, but again, that's not what makes me a man. All those things, we should do them. I do 300 to 350 push-ups and squats in a day. I did it this morning. Where's Joe Woosley at? He always makes fun of me when I say that, but it's true. Where you at, Joe Woosley? He's just mad because he can't do 300 push-ups in a day, man. No, he probably can do 3,000. But I do that. I did that this morning at the hotel. I went out and did 300 push-ups, 300 squats, and jump roped. And I got the battle of the bulge going. But I mean, you know, hey, I'm trying to do something to stay active, right? I'm for all that stuff. But that's not what makes you a man. All those things are things men should be. I tell people often there's two things that I've experienced on this planet that make me never doubt there's a God. Number one, I've been able to snorkel in the Bahamas on numerous bases. I preach down there a lot, and I've been able to snorkel in the most beautiful waters in the world, and been in the water with sharks and barracudas and stingrays. I pet a wild stingray recently, got to see a sea turtle in the water. I mean, got all those experiences. You go into the sea, you see what God has out there, there's no way you could not believe in God. But I've also been honored and privileged to be the husband of my beautiful wife and watch the birth of 4 children. And the birth of a child is one of the most miraculous things you can experience on this planet. I've seen my 4 children born into this world, and I already knew it, Brother Dahl, but I knew there was a God when I saw that. But after all 4 of my babies were born and my wife was recovering, I remember walking out of the hospital and standing in the hallway and looking to heaven and say, God, thank you, I'm a man. Look, God made you a man. God made you to be a man. And God made us to be men, not to be better than women, but God expects us to lead the ladies the way they were supposed to. And you want to know what my 2 teenage daughters said to me this morning? They said, we are more excited about you preaching those young men, Daddy, because they're looking for a future husband today, and they're not really impressed with a lot of things they've seen out in America nowadays. My daughters want to marry a young man who's on fire for God, who's going to take a stand for God. And so today I want to give you just a simple thought from John chapter 9 on if a blind man can see it, why can't we? If a blind man can see it, why can't we? A blind man steps to revival is another title I can give you. But by the way, he ends up not being blind, but we'll still call him a blind man because he starts out that way. Let's stand together one more time and look at John chapter 9. And I'll not be real long. And let me just say, I thank God for you young men. Some probably thinking I'm going to get up here and just rip your head off and rip your face off. And I'm not, Brother Randy's not typically that way, but I'm going to preach in such a manner that I think we should all leave saying, you know what? Two things. I thank God I'm a man. And number two, Lord, make me a man. I'm talking about making me a man of God. And a man of God doesn't mean preacher, but a man of God. You notice most of this Bible is written and the stories are about people that weren't preachers. Most of the men in this Bible that were leaders and champions and warriors were not preachers. God used preachers. There's a lot of preachers in the Bible. But a lot of the men were just faithful men. And by the way, I heard a preacher say one time that only 3% of the church sits on the platform. 97% sit down in the chair. If God's not called you to preach, you're not a second-rate citizen, boy. Amen? Can I get an amen right there? We need Christian lawyers and Christian doctors and Christian politicians and Christian plumbers and Christian contractors and Christian teachers. We need all those men, right? We need men of God is what we need. All right, so John chapter 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And this, by the way, this verse helped me a lot when I first got saved because my parents being deaf. Watch what Jesus says. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. It was God's will my parents be deaf. Amen. Then Jesus says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground. Jesus spit like a man. Amen. And made clay of the spittle, and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sin. He went his way, therefore washed, and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Don't you love that? I love the way the Bible says things. Hey, he looks like that guy. The other guy goes, hey, I don't know if that's him. He finally goes, guys, I'll settle it. It's me. That's what the Bible says right there. I am he. All right, verse 10. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes open? He answered and said, next two words. Amen. Help me now. Amen. Say it again. Amen. One more time. Amen. A man that is called Jesus. Amen. Heavenly Father, help us this afternoon. Speak to our hearts. Thank you for these young men. Thank you for the workers that are here today. Lord, America desperately needs men. Help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want you to notice again three things. If the blind man could see it, why couldn't we? Three things, three steps to revival from a blind man. But number one today, I want you to notice what he calls Jesus Christ. We live in a generation and a day where people seem to have presented or portrayed Jesus Christ as a long-haired, effeminate, hippie-looking person. And they show him as one little trickle of blood running down his face. And that's not an accurate portrayal of the Son of God. Jesus Christ was a man's man. Jesus Christ was a very strong physical man. Jesus Christ was not afraid of confrontation. Jesus Christ was one of those men that could walk into a room and people would notice it. Jesus Christ was able to make a whip one time and clean at the temple. Jesus Christ flipped the money table, the money changers' tables, and many of us think that's not a big deal, but if you study Israel in those days, those money changers' tables were very heavy, solid tables. And for a man to come in and flip those tables, he was physically strong. Again, I love the fact that he knew how to make a whip. He was strong, but he was also balanced. He was able to allow children to come up to him and say, suffer the little children. He was delicate and respectful towards women. He treated women with respect. He was an incredible man. He was able to carry the cross to the top of the hill. I won't fight or fuss or debate you, but I don't believe he fell beneath the load. I know songs say that, movies show that, but the Bible never said Jesus fell beneath the load of the cross. He carried that cross to the top of the hill. He was physically abused. He was spit upon. He was, slapped to death. He had those cat of nine tails, the scourging. He suffered like no man did, but he carried the cross to the top of the hill. He had the nails pounded into his hands and feet. He embraced the confrontation of facing the devil, facing hell, facing death, and facing sin. And he came out a champion, hallelujah. And Jesus Christ, the first thing this blind man says about the person that healed his eyes was a man that is called Jesus. Now, as the chapter goes along, you're going to see a little bit of a difference. The blind man gives us an incredible outline, but today, may I say, America needs men. America desperately needs men. We need men of God, of character, who have discipline, who are able to be careful. Brother Collins did a phenomenal job in that last session. So true, young man. Hey, you are supposed to like girls, and I hope you like girls, and we're supposed to like girls, and God make us to like girls, but we're to do things the biblical way. We're to do things the God-honoring way. We're not supposed to look at filth on the internet. We're not supposed to treat women in a disrespectful way. These basketball and professional athletes that talking about having all the women, they're listening to me, they're not men. A real man treats a lady with respect. A real man is delicate with a lady. A real man leads a lady. God, give us a generation of men. My Savior was a man. For one whole year one time, I read the Gospels back to back to back. I didn't read any other portion of Scripture. From Matthew to John. Matthew to John, 10, 12 chapters a day. Just to study the life of Jesus. And boy, I was overwhelmed by how masculine Jesus was. How balanced he was. He was just a man's man. He was tender when he needed to be tender. He was tough when he needed to be tough. And he had that balance. And young men, we need to learn that today. We need to learn to be able to stand up and do what's right. We need to learn how to be the man that God wants us to be, but also be delicate and kind and help a child and respect the lady. God give us men. God give us men. That's the first thing the Bible says they calls him. By man, who healed you? A man that is called Jesus. A man that is called Jesus. Hey, can I tell you something today? America was built by men. Our founding fathers were men. They learned how to shake things off. They learned how to not get overwhelmed and shaken up by things of life. They stood above the fray. They were willing to embrace and fight the biggest, most powerful military of the day in the British military. And men like George Washington and many others, thousands of others, picked up pitchforks and muskets and rifles. And they were the major, probably the most underdog. You talk about an underdog battle in the history of mankind. But God blessed those men and honor those men. And they believed in freedom and concept. And they paved the way so we can be free today. We're a free country because men paved the way. Jesus called out 12 men. One of them was bad, but those 11 men ended up finding a 12th person in Acts chapter 1. And with the whole help of the Holy Spirit, 12 men, without microphones, without airplanes, without cars, without social media, without big buildings, they turned the world upside down. They went to jail. They were beaten falsely. They suffered. They had persecution, but they got back up. They didn't quit. They didn't get beat down. They didn't say, I'm done. They fought through. They manned up. They took the stands when they needed to. They did what Jesus wanted them to. And 2,000 years later, we still have church. We still have the Bible. We still have preaching because of the man that took a stand. Maybe you're not called to preach. That's okay. But you're called to be a man. I said you're called to be a man. You say, well, when do I become a man? A man is not an age thing. It's when you make a decision. Hey, sometimes I'll meet a 12-year-old who's more a man than some 40-year-olds I've met. Somebody say amen right there. It's not an age thing. It's when you make a decision in your mind and your heart that I'm different than those females. I'm different than those ladies. I want to get a hold of my God. I'm going to be in that Bible. I'm going to pray on my knees. I'm going to honor my parents. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to have integrity. I'm going to have some character. I'm going to stand up against wrong. I'm going to stand up against the devil. I will be a man. You can be a man today. I said you can be a man. Take a stand. Do what's right. We need men. The blind man can see it. How come we can't? Number two, I want you to notice this one. It's going to get good. It's going to get gooder and gooder. So the poor blind man gets healed, Brother Judah. He's healed. And it's his first day. He should be able to go out and see the beautiful flowers, the beautiful trees, the beautiful birds. She wasn't pretty. But anyway, no. You know, he should be able to just enjoy the sights for the first time in his life. And watch what this poor man gets put through. Look at verse number 12. They said unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that was aforetime was blind. Oh, no. But the curtain, this poor guy's got to go to the Pharisees now. Are you kidding me? Talk about ruining his day. He probably wished he was blind after this experience. Watch this. He says, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him? He that hath opened thine eyes, he said, he is a, next word, help me now, what again? Wait, he called him a man a while ago, now he calls him a prophet. He's moving up now. You see, Jesus was a man first, and we've established that. But then he says he's a prophet. And the word prophet in this verse means a proclaimer of truth, someone that preaches. And boy, I'm so excited this morning when 33, I believe, young men walked the aisle and got on their knees, and they said they're going to be a preacher. If you got called to preach today, or you have been called to preach before, would you stand up all over the building real quickly? Boy, thank God for you. Boy, that's exciting right here. Look at all these preachers we have here. Hallelujah. 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 Hey, hold on. Take that, devil. Hallelujah. Stay standing for a second. Stay standing for a second. Now, all you men that are sitting there that aren't necessarily called to preach yet, we need you, thank God. These preachers need men to stand with them and to help them and to support them. Well, I thank God for the men in my church. I've got some great men in my church. Brother Judah's met him. He preached in my church. Brother Kurt's been in my church. He's met my men. Boy, we've got great men. I know there's great men here. Brother Kurt, you've got some great men in your church that help you, and we need some good men. But thank God that we have people on this planet that are called to preach and are going to take that Bible and preach. And I want to say to you preach boys that are standing up right now, I don't care how dark this world gets. I don't care how liberal people want to go. I don't care how soft people want to get. You stand, and you stand for God, and you preach that book, and you thunder aloud, and you take a stand for truth. You be bold in the pulpit and be a teddy bear outside. You preach with passion. You preach with fire, and you stand for God. Hey, thank God that Jesus was a preacher, and thank God for these preachers today. You may be seated. France has always been jealous of America. France couldn't whoop England, so we did. Twice. We whooped them so good they finally decided to come on our side of World War I and World War II. Somebody say amen right there. Back in the 1800s, France was trying to figure out why America was so great. And America was booming and growing. And they tapped a man by the name of Alexis de Tocqueville, and they sent him to America. And he came to America, and you can look it up, Google his name. And he began to tour this country, and he started to scope out our land, and he entered into our government, and he entered into our education, and he began to see our agriculture, and he saw all the different famous things that was making America great, familiar things that even France had tried. He took his trip back to France, and he sat before the council, and they said, Mr. Ted Tocqueville, what is America's greatness? He said, listen, you're going to be shocked. They said, was it in their government? He said, no. He said, was it in their education? He said, no. They said, tell us, what was it? He said, it wasn't until I went to the churches of America and I saw the pulpits aflame with righteousness. He said, America's a great country because they had preachers. Let me tell you something. Jesus was a preacher, and we need some preachers. Hey, thank God for preachers. This week we've had preaching. Tonight, Brother Judah's ready. Look at I think he put some gunpowder on his cereal this morning. He's fired up. He's ready to go. Tonight we're going to take the chain off. He's going to get in that pulpit, and he's going to sick the devil. Hallelujah. I love preaching. I thank God for preaching. Thank God for preaching. I got saved under preaching. I met my wife under preaching. I love preaching. I don't have to do the preaching. I want to hear preaching. Hey, when somebody opens the Bible and says, thus saith the Lord. Hey, I love me some preaching. I said, I love me some preaching. Hey, thank God for preaching. Woo, hallelujah. We've got to have some preachers again in America. And I thank God for that. I love what Brother Reno Likens teaches. He said that there's two things a man's supposed to do. Either pastor or help a pastor. Great truth. And you young men that aren't called to preach, we need good husbands, good godly fathers that'll love the Lord and sit their children under preaching and love preaching and support preaching. And that's what the blind man says about Jesus. Now, before we get to the third one, we're going to take a quick little detour, and I'll be done. So the blind man could see it. Why can't we, huh? The first step is we need prop men. Secondly, we need prophets. Watch this. We're going to keep on reading Philippians. Say with me in John 9. But the Jews, verse 18, did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called his parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, is this your son who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. Glad they knew that. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. And the reason they said these words, they feared the Jews, verse 22 says. Now look at verse 23. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. No, one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. Verse 26, then said they unto him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore also would you hear it again? Then he asked a question that gets him real mad. Will ye also be his disciples? And the Pharisees said, oh no, you didn't. And he said, yes, I did. Look at verse 28. Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. Now watch what they call Jesus. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why, hearing is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, let's think about this. This blind man's preaching now. He's getting so fired up, he's preaching. Since the world began, says right here, hath he not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he can do nothing. They answered and said in verse 34, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And watch what the Bible says. And they what? Cast him out. That's what religion does to you, my friend. They just throw you out. If you don't fit their mold, they'll throw you out. It's going to get real good right here. I don't believe the blind man's saved yet. I'll show you in just a second why. He got physically healed, but not spiritually healed yet. Stay with me now. It's going to get real good right here. Look at verse 35. I'm trying to calm myself. Nah, it's not going to work. Forget it, Randy. Don't calm yourself down. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had, next two words. Help me now. What'd he say? Tell your neighbor, found him. Help me now. Tell your neighbor, found him. Tell your other neighbor, found him. When he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe in the Son of God? Now stay with me now, okay? In order for you to find something, two things have to take place. Number one, something is lost. Number two, somebody goes looking for something that was lost. Somebody help me right there. What are you talking about, brother? I'm saying this. When religion threw him out, Jesus came looking for him. Let me tell you another thing. Here's a little side. Here's a little detour. Let me tell you what we need. We need to bring Jesus back to our churches. We need to preach old time salvation. We need to tell it like it is. We need to preach that Jesus still saves. We need to preach that bloody gospel. We need to tell them that, hey, when you're lost, when you're sitting out there all by yourself, when religion has failed you, Jesus still saves. I said, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Jesus still saves. Hey, Jesus still saves. Hey, Jesus still saves. I'm glad he saved me. I'm glad he saved you. I thank God he came to where I was. I was sprinkled as a baby, baptized three times growing up. But one day he tapped on my shoulder and he said, I'll save you. And I bless his holy name. He saved my soul. He wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm going to heaven someday. I'm never going to touch hell. I'm a child of the King. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I am saved. Boy, it's good to be saved. Woo! Hallelujah. 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 Man, it's good to be saved. Amen, bro. Come on now. I said it's good. Woo! Sure, I like that. All right, let me get dignified. Watch this now. Number one, he called him a what? Number two, he called him a what? Watch this now. Here's the secret to revival. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Verse 35. He answered and said, who is he? Next word. Lord. He's come a long way, hasn't he? Yes, sir. That's the real secret right there. Jesus needs to be Lord again. Amen. He is Lord. He's going to be Lord of lords no matter what. But he needs to be Lord of our churches again. He needs to be Lord of our lives. He is our master. And I love this. Look at this. Here it is. Who is he, Lord? See, he's not saved, because if he's saved, you know who he is. Watch this. Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, boy, these are beautiful words. Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Here it is, man. I'm done. We need men. We need preachers. But we need to make Jesus Lord again. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Isn't that an interesting verse? Blessed is the nation whose God. God is God no matter what. But you got to make him Lord. Stay with me now. Philippians 2 says this. That in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Help me now. Lord. To the glory of God the Father. You understand? I'm closing with this. Every single human being that has ever walked on this planet or ever been conceived in the womb of a woman will confess he's Lord. Amen. Every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Osama bin Laden will confess he's Lord. Hitler will confess he's Lord. But here's the deal, don't miss this. You do it before you die, you go to heaven. You do it after you die, you go to hell. Everybody's gonna confess he's Lord. So what's the blind man's point? And I'm done, here it is. The blind man called Jesus a man first. And that's where it starts. We need men. And I'm encouraged by what I see here today. Young men. And older men too. Thank God for the older men to teach the younger men. Secondly, he calls him a prophet. We need preaching. Thirdly, he says, he's Lord. He's Lord. Man, prophet, Lord. So here's the invitation, real quickly. If you're still not saved, you better get saved. You will, mark my words, you will confess he's Lord someday. After you die, you'll do it. You might as well do it before you die. I'm not preaching lordship salvation in case somebody wants to create. No, I'm not talking about that. I am saying this. You don't get saved unless you acknowledge he's the Son of God. Amen. He is, and by the way, he earned that. He didn't inherit it just because he was God's son. He earned the title of Lord. He didn't have a silver spoon put in his mouth. He carried the cross so that he could earn that title. Somebody say amen right there. He earned the title of Lord. He's worthy to be called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. A man, prophet, and Lord. Man, prophet, and Lord. He's in heaven now. He's not blind anymore. But Mr. Blind Man, Mr. Ex-Blind Man, thank you for that beautiful outline you laid out in one chapter. The blind man can see it. We better see it too.